Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
Well, we're going to forego the little game that we often play. Instead, we are going to get right to the big story, which is E3, which just happened a couple days ago. And Chad and Emilio, you guys were there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chad was working and I was running as a spy, I guess. I was trying to pretend I was somebody I wasn't. One of our listeners hooked me up with a badge, actually. And so the name was like Brian Carter. And I do not look like a Brian Carter. So the very first day, I snuck around the one of the sides and beat 90% of the line. I was going to be one of the first people in. I was going to run right over to the Oculus. But, you know, I would say nine people just walked right in. And then she goes, I need you to see your ID. And I was like, ooh, left it in the old room. Sorry. So I basically, I was like, oh shit, man, is this not going to work or whatever? So I went to the opposite side, still beat 50% of the people in. There's one gigantic line that like almost everybody was in, but there's no reason to be in it. So I snuck around and I got in way ahead of everybody. And the first thing I played was Battleborn. But,
did we actually get these, our daily stuff posted up, Bobby?
Yeah.
Did we? Mm-hmm,
we did.
Okay. Yeah. There we got 2 days worth of E3 coverage.
Yeah, if you're thinking, if you want to know my thoughts on certain things, I'm not going to cover everything because I already did on those. They're really quick. One's 20 minutes, the other one's 10 minutes. You can figure out, I talked about everything that I played on there. So you can go back and listen to that if you like. I'm going to try to get into the things that I didn't talk about on there, on here. And so that's what we're doing.
Cool. And I was working the show, so I did not have any time to even do anything. So,
and you were like at the most boring thing, I think.
Yeah.
A remastered edition of something else.
Yeah.
I mean, was it really popular?
I got to like people watch a lot.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah. So this was my first E3. Oh, and I subsequently got kicked out from the entire event because it comes down to my phone is also my wallet. So they're carding everybody and I don't quite notice. I'm like, oh, who's the coolest looking person? I'll go for this old lady. She looks pretty cool. I go up there. She goes, ID please. And I go, oh, I left it in the room. Sorry. You know, the same thing that worked last time, but I do the like, I'm sorry motion, like the put my arms out. And she saw that my ID was on the back of my phone. She goes, it's right there. And she grabbed it. And she's like, Charles or whatever. And then I had to meet Charles, and Charles was not a cool guy. And then I got escorted out and stuff. You are not welcome at E3 any longer, sir.
Wow.
And then Charles told me, you know, you cost your buddy $1,000, right? And I was like, yeah.
Wow. That sucks.
Yeah, that sucks. But I did get one full day and one half day. If you've ever been to a convention, it's like that, but way more colorful and a lot more lights.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to get your attention. If you're thinking if you're thinking of spending $1,000, I would definitely not. The lines are so long. You really don't get to play anything. I mean, and everything's going to be online the next day.
Sooner than the next day.
Yeah.
I equate it to going to a live, sporting event where I think you get if you watch it on TV, it's usually free. You get closer up.
Better angles.
You get immediate stuff. You get replays and stuff like that. But you also lose the fact that you couldn't say that you were there. Like, one of the perks of being at E3 is telling your buddies you were there at E3, you know?
Well, not just that, but you're also amongst like-minded people.
Yeah.
Which doesn't really happen in everyday life ever, really, for us.
Since they got rid of the booth babes, it's not quite as fun, but...
Yeah, I saw a few.
They still figure out ways to... They get a lot of talent agencies from LA to come in and work the booths, but not you can't be there as just a sex object. Like, you have to, like, so what Nintendo does, Nintendo has, like, probably one of the best booths when it comes to people watching, but, like, they are there, like, trying to help customers out and explain stuff. They get kind of like an info sheet that they go, that they kind of memorize.
But they're models.
But they're, well, I wouldn't call them models, but they're like a modeling agency. A lot of these girls and guys too do like the conventions and stuff. So it's fun. But yeah. It's nothing like what it was like 10 years ago or something.
I still can't recommend for that price point. I mean, it all depends on how much you make. It's all relative.
But yeah.
As far as $1,000 goes, it's probably one of the worst ways I could think about spending it. It's just a novelty. That's all. Pretty much. Next year, I hope to get the press pass and get in legitimately.
We will get the press pass.
I haven't seen a line like that since I broke into this country. That's a joke, folks.
Yeah. We will be getting press passes next year. We'll make sure we get it. I'm kind of interested in looking for press passes, maybe for PAX or Comic-Con, maybe even.
Yep, for sure. Yeah. And Comic-Con right around the corner here.
You get to cut the line and a lot of that stuff. So,
yeah,
that's really cool.
Wow. Awesome. So you talked a little bit for the last two short episodes that we put up about what you saw at E3, but it seemed like Battlefront was the best thing
that I played up until I played. It was Battlefront. There's so too many battles: Battlefront, Battlecry, Battleborn. You know, it's just too much. It's a lot.
But Battleborn isn't coming out on the PC, is it? I thought that was going to be some sort of console exclusive.
I don't think so. Not to my knowledge.
I'm thinking of some other game then.
I played on a PC. Hmm. What was really cool about Battlecry is that they had a controller or a mouse and keyboard. They were the only one that had your option. And you didn't even have to select it. They were both live. So you could just grab one or the other. So that was cool. But let's get into the 800-pound gorilla is Fallout 4. I'm most excited about this. Right off the bat, if you've never played any of the Fallouts, you're going to say, well, the graphics don't look that great. But compared to everything else, it looks dated. But here's the thing. Look at where Skyrim is now. It's going to be fully moddable on day one. They're going to have the mod kits. So what they do is they kind of like provide the playground and then modders come in and push it to the nth degree. So think about where Skyrim is and where it started. If you look at vanilla Skyrim, it looks like dog shit comparatively these days. So this is a further on jumping off point. So the graphics are going to be able to be pushed to easily 4K resolutions.
Yeah, but I don't know. Is that a selling point on a game that it can be moddable to look good? Like, I want a game that looks good out of the box.
I don't know, because it's customizable, right? You can mod it the way you want it. So you might like cartoony graphics, so you get that mod. Or you like sharp photorealistic mod. I mean, it's not unplayable. It doesn't look terrible. Yeah. It just doesn't look like a AAA title for 2015.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, then I want modding to be able to be easy to do, easily understood, and easily implemented. Right now in Skyrim, one of the reasons I haven't even given Skyrim a chance is because you say I have to mod it. And it's like 87 steps to mod it, and I don't even know if it's going to come out right.
It was a 20 minute video I made. I just checked it out last night, actually. It's got 1,000 views on it. Check it out if you want to get into modding for either any of the Bethesda games. You can get that at dlgaming.net and go to our YouTube page. But anyway, what were you saying?
Modding is too difficult.
Yeah. Hopefully they have some sort of client that makes it a lot easier. It is way too difficult.
Yeah.
Not every, but the payoff is so giant, especially if it's a game you love, you know? And I'm kind of torn a little bit because do I wait a year until the good mods are out for my first playthrough?
Yeah.
That's a legitimate, like, and the game's going to be cheaper too.
Yeah.
Right?
There's no way you're going to wait.
No.
You can talk a big game.
Yeah.
But so, you're like a cigarette smoker that says he's going to quit next week. And then 2 days later, I see you on the back porch just puffing away.
Very quickly, the things that I'm excited about this is the map on this is twice the size of Skyrim, so really, really big. The environments,
it's in Chicago,
Boston.
Boston, thanks. The environments are varied. You got swamp, you got forest, you got city. That's cool. And there's going to be a post Fallout portion where you're in this idealized like 50s era, you know, like modern 50s or whatever it's called. And then the bomb comes down. So you're part of the story since even before the bombs drop.
And then so you're an old man at that point?
What? No.
How long are you in the shelter for?
I don't know. That's stuff that hasn't been revealed. The crafting system is very, I think, Chad, you'll get into this now. There's a lot of breaking things down in the world, like random shit. Like, oh, I need a heating element, so I definitely need to find a toaster, right? So you're looking for, like,
gotcha.
For the first time ever, you might be like, ooh, look, a toaster. I really fucking wanted one. Because in Fallout 3, you're walking around, there's all these random things, thousands of items you could just pick up and put in your inventory, but unless you sell it, it really doesn't have any.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So now you can break things down. I think they had something like 700 modifications for the 15 weapons that they have.
Oh,
gotcha. So, you can make it, it doesn't even, your pistol, you can make it to a point where it doesn't even look like a pistol. You can make it a rifle basically if you just find enough bicycles or whatever.
That's like, How to Survive, remember?
Yeah.
Where, you needed like the gun stock and then like a CO2 canister and all sorts of stuff to make like a flamethrower.
It's like a more in-depth version of that. Also, you can build your own settlement. So you make it and then people, I guess, come. Like civilians will come if it's nice enough. And then vendors will come. And some of the best items in the game are from vendors that come and settle in your thing. So they want you to do this, but you don't have to. Of course, what sells these games is it is the epitome of open world. You can play this however the fuck you want. Nah. And so you don't even have to do a city build if you don't want. But it looks pretty cool, and you get raided, so you have to have like defenses set up and stuff. So I'll definitely be doing that. And yeah, that's my favorite thing that I saw. At Battlefront, Star Wars, fuck. This is the bar has been set.
Yeah.
This is a whole new level, guys. I said it on the thing, but I'll go again. The only games that ever achieve photorealism are racing games because they don't have to do character models. This is as close to photorealism with character models and action I've ever seen. And the sounds, the colors, the feel, everything. You feel like you're in the goddamn movie. You feel like you're both playing and watching the movie at the same time. The jetpacks were so fun. The best jetpacks I've ever played.
They're like Boba Fett style, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like you just get a short burst.
Yeah.
And you can't control it. It's just getting like, whoa! Like it just launches you forward.
Kind of sounds like Tribes or Global Agenda if you played that.
Well, Tribes was more like
sliding, right?
Wasn't yeah, you could kind sliding? You could kind of like control the thrust. This is just one shot. You just go forward and fast. It's like, and that's it. That's all you could do. It's like a super jump.
Yeah,
yeah. The only reason I bring it up because it was so fun. I was just jumping for fun. It's a lot. It's MOBA-esque in that, just in the abilities as a shooter. You also have these abilities, and it's not based on ammo. You don't have five rockets. It's based on a timer.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt MOBA-esque to me in that way.
Some of them were like shields or something?
Yeah, right? You had three abilities. But this is all like unnecessary to talk about. What I need to stress is this is the best-looking game I think I've ever seen. Amazing feel that went along with it. And it's not even out yet. Like, it's fully playable. I can't stress enough how great this is.
It got best at E3 from several yeah. sites. So.
I can't see how anything else could have got that.
Yeah.
So do they have a release date for Star Wars Battlefront yet, or is that undecided?
October, by the way, for Fallout 4 is the release date.
I thought they said November 10th.
Oh, I read somewhere October, but maybe it was.
It's going to be a fantastic fucking year for gaming. This is going to be
and there's so many year. Next year. There were so many like announced and stuff for next year.
Yeah.
These next these next years are going to be awesome.
It's getting better and better.
November 17th. You know, that's interesting that they're releasing these big titles then, because the Call of Duty games are usually released in November, right? Every year.
Black Ops 3 is the one that they have right now, but I don't think it's coming out in November. I think it's a little bit later than that.
I don't think Star Wars gives a fuck what's coming out.
Yeah.
This is going to be, like I said, the 100-pound gorilla. Oh, I said that about Fallout 4, but this is the other one.
Well, that's been a big thing in past years, is games don't want to release around November because everybody just buys Call of Duty anyway, so it's not the greatest idea. But I kind of feel like, I don't know if it's my own perception, but I feel like Call of Duty, like, I saw that new Black Ops 3 trailer, and I didn't give a fuck, man. Like, I had zero interest.
We're not the
military shooter guys.
We're not the consumers.
Well, I enjoy those games, but I've played so many of them, but I don't know if, again, I don't know if that's me or if that's across the board. People are getting tired in general of those.
I don't think it advances enough every year to be buying them every year.
Yeah.
Like, you have to buy those every 3 years or
well,
so.
Well, I mean, they do one or two things. And I think the fun of playing that is playing it with all the people. And people are going to gravitate to the
newest shit.
Newest one. So, of course, they're going to do one every year.
It's almost like a self-perpetuating system.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we should look up the numbers on how many people are playing those games when that releases. But November 6th, 2015 is when Black Ops 3 is going to release. So, yeah, and they almost always do a November release. Hmm.
So, Chad, you were there but didn't really experience. Bob, you were from the complete outside. What were your thoughts on E3?
Well, I didn't really watch too much except for the PC gaming portion presented by AMD and PC Gamer, the whole PC gaming show. And I really liked it. I watched quite a bit of it. It was like 2.5 hours or something. And that may have even just been the first day. But they had a lot of people come on, guys from Tripwire, guys talking about Hitman, like all these games, all this hardware. AMD was making a big show with their graphics card. I really liked it. I thought that was great that they finally got some decent PC gaming coverage at E3.
For sure.
And I don't think I've ever followed E3 as closely as I have this year, but it just seemed like a really good turnout overall.
A lot of people said that last year was a little stagnant. Everything was same
old shit.
Yeah, same old shit. And this year, like, they're coming out with several ones that are just doing different things. And I was reading that Polygon article about E3, and one of the things they highlighted was how many women were at E3, both presenting and being part of the industry, but also leading roles in video games, you know, because the Assassin's Creed, Emily is coming. Sony announced their big AAA one called Horizon, which had a woman as the lead role. There was a third one that
Black Ops 3, the main protagonist is a woman. And also, what's that running game? Mirror's Edge?
Yeah.
They're showing a new version of that. So, yeah, it seemed like that was a lot more present this year. And I don't know if that's a reaction to some of the bad stuff that happened in the past or...
Adrift? Did you guys see Adrift at all?
No.
It's first person...
Oh, I did. Yeah, it was in the main hall.
Kind of Gravity-esque, where you're kind of stranded out in space and trying to survive. And that's starring a woman as well, which looks really good.
It's a VR experience.
Yeah.
I didn't get to that either. That sucked.
Yeah.
I really wanted to get that. So let's see, where are we at? Dishonored 2 was announced. As far as, like, all the stuff that was just out, as far as, you know, there's all kinds of statues and all kinds of fucking shit to make you come check it out. Mm-hmm. They had a Pip-Boy, a real Pip-Boy, which you can get with Fallout 4 if you buy the
Collector's Edition.
Yeah. And you can put your phone in it, and then it's a real functional Pip-Boy, I think.
Well, you put your phone in it, but they're going to release an app. What do they call those? A companion app?
Yeah,
a companion app, so your phone basically acts as a Pip-Boy while you're playing the game, which is cool, I guess.
It has its own screen, which is cool. But the coolest thing that I saw of any statues was definitely Dishonored. They had the Corvo's mask that looked real. It looked like you could just pick it up and put it on and you'd be Corvo. It was like a metallic face, all made out of gears and shit. Like, somebody put some serious money into this thing.
Wow.
I guess you can play as Emily now, which is a little girl from part one.
Is she the main character in two?
You can play as either.
Okay.
Yeah. I watched the whole presentation on Dishonored, and they had like some clothing that she wears that looked real, and then they had this big mechanical. I tweeted it out. If you want to check it out, you could, DL Gaming DOT Net. You can see this like big bird like thing, and it was full size too. So is really cool looking for sure. Bethesda had their thing. That was my favorite. Their section, this is the first time they've ever had a section. This is the first time they've ever had an event. For me, this is, you know, they got Dishonored, great game. They got Fallout, great game. They got Battlecry, which I tried and I got shoutcasted and I fucking won and that shit was awesome. Mm-hmm. That game's pretty cool. But it kind of pales in comparison to these other ones that I played. Just cause.
Yeah, you like Battleborn a lot better. Yeah,
Battleborn I liked a lot better, and Battlefront. I'm telling you guys, it's a whole new level. It's a whole new level.
Yeah. They're really excited for that game. I'm so glad that it's looking this good because, first of all, anything Star Wars, I'm sold. And Battlefront is just such a great game too. And I was really worried that it was just going to be Battlefield with a Star Wars theme.
Yeah, that's what my concern was too. But yeah. It's not like that. Like, the rocks and all, like, you felt like you were actually in.
What did you play, Bob?
The co-op one where you're on Tatooine.
Yeah, that's what I played.
Yeah.
I played that extensively, probably 45 minutes.
I don't know if I saw any footage from Tatooine. They showed a lot of the Hoth footage.
It was Tatooine, right?
Yeah, it was Tatooine. So you guys watched that whole Hoth one? It's about five minutes long.
No.
Holy shit. So they pretty much. You can drive AT-ATs, AT-STs. You can drive those. You can drive the little things that take those things
down. Snow speeders.
Snow speeders. Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
I didn't see any Tauntauns, actually.
No Tauntauns?
Yeah.
I'm sure they will be.
Yeah, they should have those in there. And, you know, this is going to release about a month before The Force Awakens, so there's going to be a lot of Star Wars hype around the end of the year.
Oh, nerdgasm. And at the very end of the trailer, they do the reveal of Darth Vader and Luke.
Yeah,
so I think, Chad, you speculated that maybe it's going to be a kill streak reward or something like that.
Well, they explained that in the PC gaming show when they had some lady from DICE. Is that who's developing that?
Yeah,
they were talking about it. And yeah, it's like a maybe not a kill streak award, but yeah, it's like a bonus or an upgrade that you can purchase, or maybe it's randomly selected or something. But, you know, you can get that and then run wild for a little bit. And then I guess you die and go back to being a normal trooper. Did they talk about classes at all? Because in the original Battlefront, there were only like four.
You didn't select classes. You selected select weapons loadouts.
And your loadout. Oh, okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. But that might change, I think.
Who knows?
Depends on the battle, I guess.
And you couldn't really play as the Imperials, right?
Not what we played, but yeah, I'm sure you'd be able to. I mean, look at what we played. We played a split-screen co-op against waves. It's so fucked out premise. Like, we've done that a million times, but God, it was done so well.
And, like, it's funny because it's Star Wars, and so these stormtroopers are shooting at you, and you're like... Like, I was not expected to get hit at all.
Oh, right. I said that too. I was like, oh, great. First stormtroopers guy actually hit something.
Yeah, seriously.
And it's during, it's my fight.
Yeah, stormtroopers can't hit shit, dude. Yeah. They aren't even like, it's almost like a reaction to see them in a video game and like perceive them as not a threat. Like,
yeah, exactly.
They're just like fodder, basically.
Yeah. Bobby, even the animations of them moving in their armor looks right out of the movie, dude. Like, I was checking them out. Like, when you shoot them, it's just like, fuck. Okay, let's get off. It's nuts. It's coming, and it's great. It's already great.
Yeah.
It can only get better. Nice. They can't fuck it up at this point, is what I think.
They could. They could put episodes 1, 2, and 3 in there. Nah. You play as Jar Jar Binks, then you could fuck it up.
Bob, I watched half of that PC Gamer show.
Did you actually go to the booth or whatever? Did you find it?
There is no booth. They had their first presentation, I think, and then that was it, I think. I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, so I was kind of looking at there's a Rome Total, not Rome, sorry. Total War is crossing over with Warhammer 40K.
Ooh, that sounds
cool.
That's
a perfect merger.
Yeah.
I mean, how have they not got together before?
Yeah.
Because
Warhammer kept trying to do its own shit and fucking it up.
Yeah, I'm fucking it up, yeah. So, I was most excited about that, but I only got halfway through. You said that, so EA came out and talked about Battlefront?
They talked about Battlefront. At the very beginning, John Gibson from Tripwire came out and talked a little bit. And I was excited to hear that.
Tripwire is the one that does Killing Floor 2, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Tripwire Interactive. And he was talking about new content they have coming out. It's looking great. He talked a little bit about the physics of the game and the engine and stuff. But he also said that they will not reset the perks, which is great news. They had put in like some sort of disclaimer that since it's still early access, they may reset all the perks, and a lot of people were upset about that. And
it's early access, people. That's just expected.
Yeah, exactly. But he did come out and say that will not happen, and I might jump back into that game because they've already come out with a new map, but there's going to be new guns.
Yeah, you love that game.
Yeah, it's a great game. But yeah, they had a lot of cool stuff there. AMD was there. They were everywhere in E3, it seemed. But they were talking about their new hardware. They released like 9 new cards. They got a huge lineup of new cards. And their flagship, the Fury X, is coming out the 24th, June 24th. We'll probably see the benchmarks. They're selling it for the same price as the 980 Ti from NVIDIA. So everybody's going to want to know, you know, what are the benchmarks on this? And they're using that new technology, HBM, that stacks memory, and we'll see how that plays out. But they really, in the past, AMD has had a problem with heat dissipation, I guess you could say, because their cards were capable of putting out these huge numbers, but the coolers that they came with weren't that good, so it would throttle itself down and just not run nearly as fast. So I think they're trying to reconcile for that, and we'll see what happens. I'm excited to see the benchmarks. I probably won't buy one, but, you know, competition is good, and it's been a long time since we've seen anything from AMD.
I think this was a very, very smart move on them. Not only was this a novel idea to put up a PC gaming show, but they sponsored it. They got their name out there. They got their name out there to the people that count, specifically people that are like us that are into PC gaming only. Bob, did the EA chick say anything about benefits, maybe, or anything different about Battlefront on the PC? Maybe one and nothing? Probably not. They probably don't want
to. You mean benefits as opposed to getting it on the console?
Right. Like any differences whatsoever?
No, I shouldn't really talk about that.
That's unfortunate.
Like anything, the console versus the PC version. It'll be released on Origin, though, right? This is a EA game.
Going to have to download that again.
Oh, God.
Dust the cobwebs off that.
You think they'll put it up on Steam, too? Any chance?
I doubt it. Old stuff like the original Battlefront and maybe some old Sim games and Dead Space games, I think you can still get on both EA or Origin and Steam, but anything new is strictly Origin. They're really trying to push that platform.
To give you an idea of where Origin is, they give away free games like every month. So they're trying to get people to go on there.
Well, the games they give away are really old classic stuff. Yeah.
So all right. Can we wrap up E3? Bob, can you scroll up a sec, see if I missed anything? There's the Battlefront. Yeah, pretty much. I think I covered everything. Yeah.
All right.
I think we're done on E3.
Yeah.
You guys?
Yep. That's it. E3 2015.
There it is. Next year, we will have a much more in-depth thing because I'm going to be there as press.
Oh, before we jump into our highlights and lowlights, I just wanted to hit up Bobby to get a Steam update on the Steam sale because I've been out for a week. Just anything good that's come out, anything good today, anything that...
You know, the prices aren't as good as I was hoping for on some games. I did pick up Game of Thrones, the Telltale version, for $14.99, half price. And I've really been wanting to play that game. I think they have 3 out of 6 episodes out right now.
I really enjoyed the first one. Really enjoyed it.
I got to catch up on the show itself. I watched the first 2 seasons, tailed off on the 3rd, and that was years ago.
Fucking weirdo.
Yeah, I know.
What's wrong with you?
I'm like the only person that doesn't watch Game of Thrones.
Is your girl not watching it?
Like, I don't watch it.
Oh, no, she watches it.
Without you?
Yeah, she watches everything.
Of course she watches it without him. They never see each other.
That's what
he's playing video games all the time.
That's what you have to do, man. I mean, who wants to listen? You got to watch shows
together.
I've
never actually met this girl. I've known Bobby for how many years? Never met this girl?
She's made up. He's actually gay.
Yeah.
But yeah, she watches a lot of TV, and I don't know, as much video games as I play, I can't keep up with that much TV.
She holds the remote because it's actually his right hand. All right, what are we on?
What were we talking about?
Oh, we're going to highlights.
Yeah.
Oh, Steam.
Somebody talk.
Oh, the Steam sale.
Anything? Take it away.
No, Steam sale. Anything else worth looking at?
I mean, that's really the only thing that I bought. There was nothing else that I wanted bad enough to buy. They still have some pretty good deals out there, but, you know, I think us three have bought everything that we want when it comes out. So the sales are really not that big of a deal to us at this point.
Because we're ballers. gaming ballers. Anyway.
Right.
Besieged was like $450, so I had to pick it up just based on what I had seen online and Chad's description of anal explosions.
That always gets you going.
Yeah, every time.
Did you make your anal exploder?
No.
How long before you made a penis, first of all?
No, not that long. I never did. Because I was really trying to get past the thing. First thing is break down a cottage. Like, all you have to do is go forward and you win, right?
But just to preface this, you're talking about Besieged.
Besieged.
It's the one that looks like gray space and just objects in this middle of, like, kind of gray space, right?
Yeah.
Or white space.
And it's perfect.
It's very clean, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't change a
thing.
And
we're all about UI and clean and all, and it does look really good.
Yeah, it looks like if you ever watch the movie where they go to heaven and there's just white everywhere except for what's important, which is the two
when
people.
When Neo and Morpheus come down, right exactly. Before the guns go flying by.
Exactly, just like gotcha. That. So it feels the only thing that they using graphical power on or whatever, like computing power, is just what's important. The target and yourself. And yourself is a machine. It's an engineering game. It's a puzzle engineering game. Building your vehicle is just like RoboCraft, if you ever played that, which is free. If you never played that, download it. It's definitely worth the download. So you build this thing and you try to destroy whatever it is. My first one, super easy. Second one, it's more like a big house. I just put spikes on the front of my vehicle and that was easy. Third one, it gets tricky because you need to navigate landmines. And it took me I'm a terrible engineer apparently, because it took me about 20 minutes, 30 minutes to actually get to the point that I needed to get. The next one is a castle, but I haven't actually started to do it yet. So, there's a lot, there's hinges, there's struts. I mean, you're looking at structural support. You're looking at, widgets and turning radiuses and,
Is it automated? Like you set it up and then you push go and it does its thing? Mm-hmm. Or do you control it?
You control it.
Oh, okay.
Maybe the biggest fault of it is that it's a free camera. And so you move a little bit and then you have to adjust the camera. It doesn't follow you whatsoever. There might be an option for it. I didn't see it. So you're constantly moving with the camera and then move your vehicle a little bit and then move the camera. But the levels are so small. I mean, the object is right in front of you. Mm-hmm. So I'm making it sound, but for the one where I had to drive around landmines, there was a lot of camera play. But the controls are intuitive. The actual building of the things is super easy, works really well. It's funny because I thought of Fallout 4 when I was playing
naturally.
This. Yeah.
I was somehow you're going to connect Fallout 4 to this game that has nothing to do with it. Okay.
And I was just seeing, because in the demo that they did of you building your shelter, mm-hmm. I'm like, that looks a little too easy. Like, obviously they've been working on it and they know how to manipulate this. But if you go to Besieged, it's that easy. It's just Legos. You just look for the next Lego that you want. And you put it together as quickly as your hands will move, really. So Besieged, I mean, it's just boom, 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 ready to go.
So how do they limit you to make it
they
a
don't.
Challenge?
Interestingly enough, the challenge comes in the engineering. Multiple times my car fell apart from structural inferiority. Like it just cracked under its own weight.
So are you saying there's an unlimited amount of resources?
Yeah.
It's not like RoboCraft where you have to buy blocks?
Right off the bat, you can go make a flying machine if you want with a ballast and balloons with different amount of pull to them, how much helium they have in them. You can do whatever you want. You can make a giant land walker if you want. It just goes on and on. But the more complex you get, the more room there is for for things to go wrong.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So it's almost like your thing is going to break under its own weight a lot of the time. Yeah.
And this is Besieged, obviously. Sorry about the...
Jesus fucking Christ.
The motorcycle that ran right through our living room.
Fucking grandma.
Besieged, and you bought this for $4, you said.
$4,
on,
yeah.
On a flash sale.
Yeah. I can't say how deep it is, because I only played four levels. Three and a half. So I can't... But...
You feel
already,
like you've already made $4.
It's beautiful. It's really, really pretty.
Yeah, it is.
It's really pretty.
It is. Oh, if we're done with Besieged,
yeah.
I got one more point about E3 that I forgot to make, and I want to make sure I made it.
I feel that's going to happen a lot this episode.
One thing that I took away from it is there is so much media for video games. And I just wanted to say that if you're listening to us, like, we appreciate it. You could get news everywhere. You can get all sorts of information anywhere. Obviously, you listen to us because we're awesome. But there's so many. It's
crazy. Yeah.
Like I was watching GameSpot stuff, and they were coming out with all these YouTube guys that do all these different things, and I was just blown away. Like, I was not aware of how many places there are to get gaming news and gaming stuff done. And so I just wanted to say that it's awesome that you guys are listening, and please continue to do so.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when we put this thing together, we talked about, Bob and I had a conversation about, you know, at first I think he kind of wanted to take it in a professional type of way, but now, like, somebody tweeted the other day that, hey, check out these non-journalistic guys. And I think I took it as a compliment, because that's what I'm going for. Obviously, we're dudes drinking beer, having fun, and talking shit. That's all we're doing. There's guys smarter than us. There's guys that are, maybe not Bobby. There's guys that are far more equipped, all kinds of stuff. But what we're trying to do is just, like, if you were sitting here, you'd be part of this conversation. We're just like dudes sitting on a couch that are standing at a table, but like dudes sitting on a couch. So that's what we're going for, and that's where the niche we're trying to fill. And yeah, thanks for coming on the ride. We're gonna keep on going.
Cool.
All right.
What else? Bobby, you had all week and nothing to do, so you obviously played a ton. Which what's going on?
Oh, I had stuff to do.
Oh, sarcasm.
I had stuff to do, all right. But I played Fallout 3 New Vegas. I started playing that because there's been a lot of Fallout talk lately. I played Fallout 3 maybe 3 years ago. Yeah, probably about 3 years ago I played through that.
Did you mod, Bobby?
No.
Killing me, Smalls.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to play it vanilla. I wanted to get the intended experience of the developer. And first off, this game came out in 2010. When did Fallout 3 come out? 2009?
Probably 2009, yeah.
Maybe 2008.
Maybe.
Yeah. But New Vegas, wow. I didn't know the graphics weren't very good. I mean, they aren't bad, but like we talked about with 4, they just aren't very good. And I wanted to mention it when we were talking earlier about Battlefront, but I thought I'd wait till now. I think a big part of graphics is not just how they look, like maybe the textures being high res or not. I think a lot of it has to do with the actual character animation, the way a character walks, moves, when they get shot and fall down. Like, that adds so much more immersion and realism in a game than just being, you know, just looking good when you're standing still, like in a screenshot or something. I mean, how many games have you seen amazing screenshots, like Nether, like, oh, that looks pretty good. And then you actually play the game and you're just like, shit, dude, I feel like I'm walking around in a paper house or something. Like, the leaves are made of cardboard. So, and this game really suffers from that. It's running on the Havoc engine, which is an engine that I feel like is in a ton of games, but you just never hear that much about. It's been in Dark Souls, all those Cabela games.
Sounds like a cheap engine, you think?
Well, you know what? In Dark Souls, I think they use part of that, and then they heavily modify it, or they use some other stuff. But it's been around, and I see it pop up in a lot of places, but... the game just feels a little antiquated when it comes to graphics, but I don't think that's really what Fallout is about, the Fallout series in general. I mean, it's a really well-done RPG. I think Obsidian did New Vegas.
Yeah, Bethesda didn't do it. Famously...
Well, they're the publisher, right?
No, well...
Or maybe 2K. Maybe I should look up some information.
Nah, let's just throw stuff out.
Bethesda did Fallout 3, and then I believe Obsidian did New Vegas. That's the way it worked.
Okay.
As far as development.
Yeah. Well, it, let's see. Publisher, Bethesda, developer, Obsidian. Yeah.
But here's the thing, Bob. I mean, if you mod this thing, graphic, I mean, you can, it's amazing what it looks like. I'm more amazed by the Fallout New Vegas mods than I am the Skyrim one because, again, we'll go back to the jumping off point. The jumping off point was so much lower than Skyrim. When Skyrim came out, it looked about as good as Fallout New Vegas modded. But now it's surpassed that. And now, I mean, it looks so good. It looks better than, I would say better than Grand Theft Auto V.
I just told people that I would be playing Fallout New Vegas as well, since I've never played any of the Fallout series.
Again, so. I think you should play 3.
Yeah, and after playing New Vegas, I think you should play 3 as well, because okay. New Vegas definitely feels like a game that was made for people who just got off of playing Fallout 3. I mean, Fallout 3 really builds momentum in the beginning. You know, you start like the game begins with you being born, right?
Yeah.
And Liam Neeson is your dad, and he names you. Yeah, and, like, they have this really interesting way of, like, applying stats and character or creating your character, yeah. You know, rather than just put you in a menu and be like, okay, what type of haircut do you want and all this shit. And Fallout New Vegas, like, you get shot in the head, you wake up, and then it's like, oh, no. What's your name, fella? And then, like, I tried to patch you up. Do you look right? And then you, like, pick all your shit. So it really speeds you through all that stuff that they really took the time to do in Fallout 3. So if you've never played a Fallout game, definitely do 3.
Okay.
New Vegas, it's actually a fun game, though. I mean, it's got everything that makes an RPG good. The stats, the combat is good. And
item pickups. The gearing up.
Yeah, yeah. So
hey, guys, did you know Fallout 4 is coming?
The reason I brought it up is Amino, why don't you and I sit on the computer, figure out how to mod this thing, since okay. I don't want to do it myself.
Okay.
And I will play Fallout, I'll play Fallout 3.
Yeah.
And we'll give it a go.
That one doesn't have nearly as many mods, not even close. Probably a fifth of, no, I mean 5% of what
really?
New Vegas. I don't know why that is, but yeah, you can clean up a little bit, but it's not going to be drastic. New Vegas is where it started. New Vegas looks like a AAA title today. That's how good it looks.
Do they got EMBs similar to Skyrim?
I think there's like one or two for Fallout 3. There's not a whole lot that you could do there. Again, New Vegas might have more mods than Skyrim, or at least close. It's gorgeous. I can't believe what they've done with it.
But again, I got to go back to what I was saying earlier. I wonder if those are just a lot of texture upgrades, skyboxes, mm-hmm. you know, things to alter the terrain. Because, yeah, that'll make it look a lot better in a lot of ways. But in Fallout 3, I noticed if you go to your third-person camera and if you press up and right, you know, you run diagonally, but your character, the animation is him running forward, but the body is moving diagonally. And I'm like, damn, dude, I haven't seen that since, like an old-school shooter.
Bob, if there's anything you can think of, there's a mod for it. There's animation mods. There's anything you can think of.
So that's most of that stuff is called rigging and animation in the like character rigging.
Character rigging
is how it's set up, and then the animation is how they animate the rig. For if anybody there is curious on what the technical terms are for that.
Well, I didn't realize they had such a big modding community, so I'll have to check that out. And sure. I'm sure it'll add some to the game, but you know, really, this is an RPG. I feel like RPGs in general don't rely as heavily on graphics as some other games.
But if you're going to spend whatever X amount of hours with anything, you want it to be
as pretty
aesthetic.
As possible.
Yeah, yeah, even that's a living room, you just want it to be nice.
That's our dating rules too, right?
Yeah. Forget what.
If you're going to spend any amount of time with it, you want it as pretty as possible, right?
Yeah. The uglier she is, the quicker I want to get out of there.
That's true. Wow.
Classic. All right. Well, I'm sure I'll be talking more about Fallout 3 New Vegas in the coming weeks because it's a long game. Not quite sure how long, but I'm
sure. Chad, you haven't talked. Get into Homeworld.
Okay, so first of all, I want to preface this by saying I was at E3 all week, so I did not get a whole lot of gaming time, but this was a flash sale. I like in Steam where it says, here's all of the games that are on sale on your wish list. And you're like, sweet.
It is really nice. It's on the front page, too.
Yeah. So, Homeworld has been on my wish list for a long time, since it came out. And I saw it on sale. So I picked it up. I think it was half price. I think it's regularly $35. I think I got it for $17. if I'm correct on that. So, I booted it up. It gives you a couple of options. You can play Homeworld 1 or Homeworld 2. You can play it in the classic mode or the remastered mode. So I didn't know what to do, so I did the most modern one. So I did Homeworld 2 remastered. And let me tell you, it looks good. It sounds good. It's not going to blow you away with graphics or whatever, but it doesn't look like an old game. It looks like a modern game. I'm 3 or 4 missions in and having a blast. It's a real-time strategy game, but it's kind of interesting because your home base is also a ship, so it moves around. So, like, it's kind of... I was equating it to kind of like a Warcraft or whatever, where you have units and you move them around and they do stuff. You'd need to farm resources by mining asteroids to be able to do stuff. But you also have your, like, ship, your main ship, which can also move, not very fast, but it can move around and shoot and do stuff. So, it's kind of a cool concept. And it's really, like, I thought it was going to be really complicated. You know, your space, you're in this 3D space and everything like that. So, I was expecting it to be very complicated. They only had 3 tutorials, and it taught me everything I needed to know to play the game.
I found it to be complicated, but I don't think I played this one. I think I played... It wasn't the remastered. I think it was the original. So maybe they cleaned it up.
Did you play Homeworld or Homeworld 2?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I did buy something.
Okay. So, well...
at some point.
I also think it's cool, like, you can upgrade your ship, your base, to be able to do bigger ships and everything like that. So it's just like any other RTS game where, you know, you're building your base up while farming resources while also trying to destroy the enemy. But your base is mobile. And you can eventually do bigger ships that can then work as bases also. Like, they can also make ships and stuff like that. But,
kind of like when you start a new city in standard RTS.
Exactly. But obviously I'm playing through the story mode, and the story mode is not just your base versus their base and you try to destroy it. It's obviously, like, there's a story involved and things come in and you got to protect a resource or you got to do other things. So I'm doing the campaign and having a blast. If you're into RTSs, I would recommend it. I would say highly recommend it. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to play much this week. Damn E3. So, but yeah, as of right now, I'm having a blast and we'll continue to be playing it.
I've been playing a lot of Witcher 3, big surprise. Every week I'll try to bring you another thing that stood out to me.
I think I had to delete Witcher.
And it's still available on mine, so that's cool.
Yeah.
However it works.
No, I deleted GTA 5 is what I deleted.
Oh, yeah. Certain games, I think you could just put on your regular one, like, really quick. Like,
I don't have a regular. I only have the 500.
Oh, you only have the 500.
Right now.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So.
Solid state, by the way.
We haven't... Okay, we'll talk about it later. But, so, strategy I want to talk about. So, if you haven't played Witcher, if you look at it...
Witcher 3 is Witcher talking 3, about, obviously.
If you look at it from the outside, and you're looking at maybe somebody playing on a YouTube video or something, you're going to think it's a hack and slash. But it's a lot deeper than that. There's... Before I go into something that I know that is going to be challenging, there's several steps I have to take in order to make sure that I'm going to be successful in that fight, said fight. There are different potions you can take to help you. There's to help you in that fight. There's certain bombs that do different things that can help you in that fight. There's certain weapons you could have. There's certain poisons you could put on your sword. There's decoctions or something that prevent damage from that creature type. And these are all different kinds. These are all things you have to think about. You have to look into your beastery, which is like a book that tells you about all these things. Look at their weaknesses. Put this all together. Now, you don't do this all the time. This is when you're about to fight a boss or like a mini boss or something like that, or something significantly above your level. But yeah, you have to actually think. And unfortunately, I had a couple of people watching my stream last night, and I was like in the middle of putting this, I guess, my
detox
loadout.
On.
It's a loadout. Yeah. Is what you're doing. You're loading out for this particular kind of monster.
All these ones are crafted, by the way, right?
From the crafting. You craft them. What's great is you don't have to craft them every time you need them. If you meditate, everything's replenished. As long as you made it once, you have it forever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's really cool.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's really good. So you only have to make it once. So find the recipe, put it together. Now you have it for good.
Gotcha.
Just meditate and it'll come back into your inventory. I fought this thing called a Foglet, which is a fog-based, like, he looked like a golem. He kicked my ass like 3 or 4 times. I kept adjusting my loadout until I got him. And nice. I felt like a little bit of puzzle in this amazing RPG action game.
You know? You felt a little frustration, but the reward at the end was worth the frustration.
I wouldn't say frustrated. I knew that I would either overcome this or I had to go level up and come back. Luckily, it was, the first one.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It was,
that's cool.
It continues to deliver.
And I think that really plays into the Witcher storyline, because you're supposed to be this guy that defeats these monsters and know about these monsters.
Right.
Like, having this bestiary kind of just plays right in there. Like, you're not just some dude coming up with a sword. You're like, you know.
This is what you do.
This is how you attack this guy.
You're like
this
a Ghostbuster or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It gets even a little bit better than that because, yes, obviously he has all this knowledge of all these things.
Plus but they a don't... deep, gravelly voice, right?
Yes. He's so cool. Let me look at my bestiary.
He's like a combination of Batman
and
Bane, maybe?
Yeah, sure. but the things don't enter your bestiary until it's relative.
Yeah.
And it's a good way to do it because you can just sit there and read about all these monsters. It'd be really cool. But as soon as something comes up, it's not like you fight it and then it's in your bestiary. If somebody brings it up, he kind of like remembers and then you can look at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I fucking love it, man. Yeah, I love it so much.
I actually recommended this game to a couple people that came up and talked to me at E3.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what games are out now that I should be playing? Or I like Skyrim. What should I play?
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing.
The Razer booth, Razer peripherals.
Like
the game that they were using most to demo everything was Witcher 3.
Yeah.
So that's saying something.
It's a hot game right now.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So we don't have any listener questions this week. You can always post those in our Steam group. We have a thread for that, I believe.
The truth is I didn't look.
just a question. Can they just join our Steam group, or do we have to specifically invite them?
No, anyone can join.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a public
group. This is Chad. He's been on the podcast for over a year, guys.
I just don't know how Steam groups work because I've never created a Steam group.
You could set them either way.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And ours is set to let anyone join who wants to.
Yeah. Gotcha.
All right, so let's talk a little news, some stuff that we didn't cover in E3. New Xbox controller?
Only reason this is important to us is because Xbox controller seems to be what... It's the controller of choice.
The de facto controller for the PC market.
And drone control. The army uses it. It's just...
Well,
it's
Oculus is now going to include Xbox controllers.
Yeah, that too. I mean, it just is the de facto. Yeah, you're right. So now they have a $150 Elite version. Right off the bat, the things that stick out, I guess, are these little flappy paddles that are underneath the unit. Which are kind of like the ones when you're shifting gears
like
in a
paddle
car.
Paddle shifter?
Yeah.
Like the ones I got on my RX-8.
Right, but two. So
downshift.
I'm sorry, four.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so all those fingers that sit under a controller, there's three wasted fingers, pretty much, because you're just using your index for the top two, right?
I use my two fingers.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I don't. So anyway,
but now, not well. I suck with those shoulder buttons.
So now there's a button for each one of the under fingers. Yeah. So there's two flappy paddles.
Do people understand that we have to hold the controller somehow? Do you hold it with the pressure of your hands together? How? I don't get this.
Well, it's a cradle, right? It's a cradle.
But you can't cradle and do this at the same... Like you're a crab?
I don't know.
This makes no sense. Because I'm going to go on a little rant here. When I hold the controller, I like to grip it with my top two fingers. On my left hand. Like, the controller would be in between here. And I would put my index and my pointer finger on top of the controllers to
squeeze
it.
Okay, first of all, just stop doing that.
Because
hold it like a human being.
I wanted not a, like a, I wanted as firm as possible because you're controlling with the left stick. Like you just need a lot of no.
I don't use controllers, so I don't know, man. But you guys have been having this whole conversation with your hands up like this, like you're groping some balls or something. But no, I don't ask me about controllers.
Yeah. So I hate using my left triggers because that means I have to grip my controller differently. But if you're telling me I can't even grip it with my bottom two fingers now, I'm talking like an
Italian. I'm so frustrated.
Yeah. God, this is horrible.
Anyway, if you got $150, people that tried it, they liked it.
But the other thing about this controller is it's got, like, you can basically take it apart. It's similar to an arcade stick in that you can change individual parts.
It's modular.
It's modular, and I think it's also similar to like a gaming mouse where you can add different weights and stuff. You can do different things on the interior of it to make sure it feels exactly how you want it.
I like weights.
Yeah. So I think that is kind of the point of this $150 controller is that it's a pro gaming controller, if that makes sense.
You might laugh at weights, but my mouse came with weights. And man, to get it dialed in right where you want it, it really does make a difference. It just feels right as opposed to just feeling wrong.
Yeah.
Right? So, Bob, you got anything on that?
Nope.
Okay. Moving on. Oculus Touch, speaking of controllers, is a controller for the Oculus. And, Gizmodo came out and said it's damn good. Apparently, it's really interesting because not only are you holding this thing kind of like the Wii U, right? The Wii U had this little nunchuck thing that you could hold.
Okay.
With a D-pad on the top. Okay. More than a D-pad.
Sony has one that's similar. Like
it's what's that thing called? The stick. Stick, yeah. It's called, right?
Analog stick.
Yeah, it has an analog stick on the top. But not just that. It has this sensor, and this is why it's called the Half Moon Prototype. There's a sensor that's a half moon that goes around the entire unit. And it can tell what your fingers are doing. So,
So you could squeeze a trigger or whatever.
Right. Or anything. If you open your hands, your virtual hands will open.
Well, how do you, like, hold on to the stick then?
Why are you so preoccupied with how you hold things? In your palm.
So you can't open your whole hand. Or else you just drop the thing.
No, look. If you look at it, it'll rest on your index finger. You see? You can't drop it. If you open it all up, I don't know. I didn't get my hands on it, but it doesn't look like you. Stop worrying about dropping things.
apologies. I like to hold on to controllers.
It almost sounds like you're a war vet with no hands, and then like, and you have all these concerns that nobody has.
Two claws that I'm trying to play games with. That's why I suck at video games, because I only have two claws to play with. All right, what else?
Speaking of which, it was kind of cool. I saw a few like handicapped people that were there, and you know, they got their own little setup on their wheelchairs to play games. I thought it was really cool. Really.
That's kind of like
this guy had no arms, dude. He had hands coming out of his shoulders and he was playing on a Nintendo. And I was like, that's fucking dope.
Yeah. Bro.
Like what would his life be like without video games?
Yeah. No, for sure. I think there's sites where they'll mod like controllers and stuff to make it handicap friendly or whatever.
I wish I got my hands on this Oculus Touch. I'm sorry I didn't, but I did play the fucking the B League, if you will. You know, everybody's thinking that VR is going to explode next year, so everybody's trying to make all these different things for it.
I'm sorry, I just got to do another little tangent.
3D, how are you going to hold this Oculus Rift?
3D was what?
My head's not big enough.
5 years ago? When was 3D all the rave?
About 5 years. Four or five years.
I don't know. I just worry that this is going to be another 3D where it's going to be popular for a year and then people are going to say it's too hard to design for. I don't know.
I worry about another
3D.
It's not just gaming, though. It's educational. It's you could take virtual tours. You could. Yeah. This thing is blowing up. One of the. I met this guy, and his company.
Was he cute? Was he brown?
He was good looking. He had two very good looking girls with him.
Oh, okay.
And he works for this company that has a 3D camera, or I'm sorry, a 360. I don't even know if that's what you call it, because it's all encompassing. It's more than 360. It's 360 in both, you know, everywhere. It's got cameras all over itself.
Gotcha.
It cost them $2 million and they rented out for $30,000 a day. Yeah. And, wow. So I was like, oh, what are the applications for it? And he's like, well, that's the thing. People don't, it's so new. People really don't know. But the people that we're renting it out to right now are universities. And they, you know, because this camera, which is about the size of a soccer ball, and kind of looks like one because each camera would be one of those dark dots.
That's football for our European market.
Oh, 19 of you. They put it on a robot, basically, and you control it with a...
So you still see a little bit of the robot?
Because I don't think it's set up that way. I don't know. Okay. He said the stitching, which is putting the different images together, mm-hmm. is that's all taken care of. Basically, the only problem that they have is when they rent it out, the people are using it wrong, but that's it. But anyway, universities are doing virtual tours so that people don't have to fly out.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So to see what it's going to be like on campus.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool. But that's just the beginning, you know, right? Mm-hmm. So so I went to Paris like 3 years ago or whatever. And then when I came home, I was like, let me go on Google Earth and do the same thing, the same walk outside of the Louvre that I did. And I mean, man, I was like, I didn't need to fly there. Like, I
just wasted thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I can pretty much see everything that I saw.
But, and we're going to take it to the next level.
Next level.
When you get the VR. Absolutely. Okay.
People are going to be selling virtual like vacations.
Maybe know? Maybe instead of the chat girls that they have now,
yeah,
you put on the headset.
Right.
Actually.
Are you implying that some of this is going to be used for sexual pleasure?
I'm saying that I watched what was that movie? What was that movie where they did the VR? Oh, they did it in a bunch. Minority Report.
Oh, right.
And what was the one with the three shells?
That was Demolition Man.
Demolition Man.
Terrible name.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
Bobby, you said you were doing over here. You said you did the poor man's version. Is that the one?
Oh yeah, yeah. So.
After you got on all these tangents.
Yeah, so there's the... that was you, by the way.
Can't stop seeing Wolverine when I look at you, by the way.
Oh, I'm looking pretty good, man.
By the way, so Emilio is no longer doing his job, and his job required that he was clean-shaven.
20 years.
20 years doing this crappy job where he had to be clean-shaven. So the first thing he did upon leaving this job is say that he's going to grow a beard. So he's in the early scruff stages of it, and he's wearing this...
I'd call this a beard, dude.
No. If you can still see hair, if you can still see skin, it's scruff.
So you've never had more than scruff?
Yeah, I don't like... I like scruff. Okay. That's all
Bob,
I
Bob, would you call this a beard?
Yeah, it's a short beard.
All right, no, thanks.
You're wrong. So, but then he's wearing this tank top, and, I mean, he doesn't have the muscles to pull off Wolverine, but...
Asshole.
Anyways.
Moving on. So the Omni was there again. Looking as awkward as it's always looked.
That's the one that you wrap around and you run in.
And you run in with slippery shoes.
With slippery shoes, okay. Which they provide you.
Right. Well, no, not shoes, sorry. They're like socks that go over your shoes.
Oh, the like ad I saw had advertised, part of the advertisement had their sneaker, their Omni sneaker.
No, it's like, well, I'm sure they have one.
Okay.
But there's also these like bags that go over your feet.
I'm just going to rock out on the mark.
Yeah, fuck it,
Just...
Because are those the Omni shoes?
Because it's the Omni's like
my place and run around a virtual beach, baby.
It's like $700 for these, and I'm hoping that you get the shoes also.
That's what the Omni costs?
That's what I was told. Okay.
Well, right next to the Omni was this thing called, who cares because it sucks, but it's basically a touchpad that you run around on, and you need even slipperier shoes for this, and it was $1,500, and even the demo guy that was trying to show off how cool it was having issues. This thing is not going to take off.
Wow.
Great job on their booth. Everything was white. The chicks were hot. But this thing is not going to work. Check my Twitter feed if you want to take a look at it. It's a piece of shit. The other
well,
one
you
that
included
I,
the girls in it. In your, in
at
your
least one of the shots.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Then I'll look.
One of the other ones was a ring that you put on, which has been tried before, trying to replace a
and
mouse.
And it turned into Green Lantern?
No.
Damn it.
And it had five buttons on it. It's a ring, it had five buttons. It was super convoluted. The tracking wasn't that great. Mm-hmm. That's not going to work either. They need a lot of work on that. They're just looking for money, basically.
Hmm.
The other one, and this is the worst probably of the three.
Worse than those two?
Yeah.
We got a ring with five buttons and a giant touchpad that doesn't work.
Right.
And this is the worst one.
Okay. Right. It wasn't that the touchpad didn't work. It actually works really well because it's a touchpad. If you jump,
it knows that you're
jumping. But the problem is that you're
trying to, like, unlike skate,
the Omni,
right?
Yeah, you're kind of like skating, but you're, it just looked very, very awkward. Maybe they'll come up with something, but I don't see anything. So the worst one was this thing called, Manus, which means hands in Greek, I believe.
Okay.
And, so you put these gloves on and, one is one color, the other one is the other one. And this is for the Samsung Gear, which is their VR, right? So you put your phone in this thing.
Gotcha.
And then you put it on, which wasn't half bad. It was better thinking, you know, you think you put your phone in this goggle and you put it on, it's going to be worse than the first Oculus, but it was better than the first Oculus. I'll give them that.
Okay.
It's not, and now I'm talking about the Samsung Gear here, but now I'm going to talk about this Manus thing. So there's this like camera that's on the front of your headset. And so the view of it is very narrow. So if your hands are not up right in front of you, like a zombie walks, it can't track your hands. So I asked him about it. He's like, oh, well, we're definitely open to suggestions on how to fix
that. They need a fisheye lens.
They need a fisheye lens, yeah. So anyway, I had my hands out in front of me.
Like, you're feeling boobs.
Everybody, follow my Twitter, dude. You might laugh a couple times.
Damn
it. I said that because I got a perfect picture of a guy going like this. And I was like, oh, this guy's obviously
doing... You got to describe it for our podcast.
Yeah, like titty grab. And I said, obviously, this guy was doing Titty Simulator 3000. And I wanted to get in on that, but I go in and you're just grabbing these triangles. And it wasn't that cool. But then I shot some... Anyway, the worst part of it is you can't... How long can you hold your hands out in front of yourself? So everybody's trying to jump on this train, but the Oculus Touch is already, you know, it's way ahead of... They got Carmack, right? Who I saw for a second.
There was some... I didn't see any of them, but I heard Oculus was not necessarily standing up to some of the other VRs.
I don't know.
They
wouldn't even let me in line. That's really? How long the line was for Oculus.
Yeah.
Like, we have to cut off the line because it's over 4 hours. That's what they told me.
Yeah, gotcha.
I was like, wow. So, No Man's Sky is going to come out the same time that it comes out for the PlayStation.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's really, really cool.
You mean for the PC?
Yeah. Originally, I thought they had paid for that, you know, exclusivity. But maybe they don't look...
console exclusivity.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I don't think they look at PC gamers as a
threat.
Threat, really. So that's all I've got.
All right. Yeah, I think that's everything we have here.
Bobby, just go on a rant. Just talk. Yeah. I don't think you put in enough minutes.
What say something in your sweet, sweet voice.
No, I got nothing else to talk about.
Well, let's talk about next week.
Next week.
Oh, do we have any contests or anything going on right now?
Not at the moment, but the next one will probably be a review giveaway. So let me just throw this out there. I know iTunes sucks, but that's where we make our business. If you could do us the biggest favor is...
And by business, we mean
giving
away podcasts for free.
Yeah,
like we're not making business. Yeah, we're not making money doing this.
Our business is being super sweet.
Yeah.
That's where we are.
Awesome.
Please download iTunes. Please start an account and please rate and review us. And you have to, I know it sounds like a lot, but actually write something out because just giving us the 5 stars that you're going to give us.
Unnaturally.
Let's be honest here.
Yeah. 6 if they have that option.
It doesn't show up. We're starting to slip off the front page for PC gaming podcasts. We need another big push. And you're forever entered into every review giveaway that we do.
Which will be our next one, right?
Right. Your chances are 1 in 38. So your odds of winning something cool are pretty fucking good.
Yep.
It's like close to the lottery. Like pretty close.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Real close. All right, next week, what are we playing?
Probably Game of Thrones and more Fallout 3 New Vegas for me.
Modded Fallout 3 New Vegas.
Yeah, possibly. We'll see how easy it is. I'm going to use the Steam Workshop, and you know, if I can get a few texture upgrades
they don't do texture upgrades on the Steam Workshop. The only thing you can get there is quest mods and weapon mods, shit like that.
You're not gonna get the Nexus up, right?
Yep, I got to get on the Nexus.
Yeah, it's a little too much work.
I really fucked up my...
He's got a 20-minute video.
Yeah,
go check it out. Skyrim.
No, it's the same thing. The same program, it could be used for any one of them. Joe, you got anything else?
Homeworld 2, I want to play some more of. Fallout 3, you are going to walk me through some mods, and I'm going to try that. And, yeah, I think those are the main two ones. Anything coming out that's coming up soon?
I don't even care. There's so much good shit.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything big being released anytime soon. Not until November.
I just hope I stay alive that long, man. That's what I'm looking forward to.
It's iffy, but I will do what I can.
With all those big releases in November, it's going to be interesting what the Game Awards are going to be like in December. We talked about this a little last week, but last year they gave it to Dragon Age Inquisition, which came out like a week before the Game Awards. So, I don't know, big releases at the end of the year.
I completely forgot about that game.
How about you, Amanda?
What am I going to play? I will be playing more Witcher 3 for sure. And I am going to talk to you guys about dedicating some game time every week. We got to talk about this.
Didn't you buy a 4-pack or something?
No, I wanted to. Dungeon Defenders 2 is out. There's a 4-pack, so we might get into that.
And so, if we do, we might have an extra copy to do that.
That's what I want to give away on the thing. Okay. So anyway, I really fucked up my Spanish outro last time, so I'm going to try one more time.
Do we want to have Bobby give any sort of spiel before we get out of here?
I don't think we plugged everything. DLGaming.net.
Okay. That's the most important thing. Go there. That's our hub for everything else. So here we go. Gracias por escuchar el DL Gaming Podcast. Estoy hablando aquí por Char y para Bobby y por Lauro y... Oh, you guys don't even know that name.
Yeah.
Emilio. Y gracias por escuchar. Vamos a estar aquí la semana que viene, como siempre. Gracias y chichis.